The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend.
The Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. My name is James Robertson. I'm a researcher, publisher, and teacher regarding the matters and truths of the Almighty Creator, whose true name is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing. I've been actively serving him since 1993, over 31 years. If you're not actively serving Yah, then by default, you are serving Satan. My objective is to show you how you can make a big difference on earth and qualify for a position of high esteem in heaven for eternity. It's important to understand that as a believer, just being good is not the point. It's relationship with Yah that counts. Without this, you'll be in a very unpleasant place in heaven with no way out. My aim is to show you how to get close. If you're a good person without a clear relationship with Yah, then you're in a spiritual no man's land and will not enter heaven when you die. The Creator has said regarding unbelievers, why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist? Yah is calling everybody on the planet to be involved and serve him and help him to have victory over Satan. My goal is to show you how you can help. Fundamentally, we each need to learn to see earth, things on earth, from Yah's perspective. My aim is to teach you how to do that. Please visit my website at www.endtimeissueministries.org. That's endtimeissueministries, one word, .org. Or email me on james@endtimeissueministries.org. Today we're going to be looking at the good news or gospel regarding Yeshua, the anointed of Yah, incorrectly called Jesus Christ, according to Matiyahu, incorrectly called Matthew. And this is part two. So we're looking at the good news according to Matiyahu, part two, overview. The first book in the so-called New Testament in the Bible, Matiyahu or Matthew, provides an authoritative account of the life, death, and resurrection of Yahushua, the anointed of Yah, incorrectly called Jesus Christ. I've corrected the core translation errors and added commentary based on my personal experience and revelation. I will share this in the next few broadcasts. This is part two. I will read the next three chapters of Matiyahu and offer commentary. Finally, we will look at the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator. So this is book one of the New Testament, The Good News According to Matiyahu, part two, picking up where I left off in chapter four. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. And Yeshua went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those which were demon-possessed, and those which were epileptics, and those that were paralytic, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee and from Decapolis and from Jerusalem and from Yehuda and from beyond Jordan. Good news is a more accurate rendering of gospel. Gospel is effectively a meaningless English Bible word. There are quite a lot of the words that are used in the common English Bible translations, and in fact, certainly in Christian practice, which are actually completely meaningless. If you go back to the underlying Hebrew, that meaning is completely, the meaning that is embodied in the Hebrew is completely lost. So here we have gospel instead of good news. Syria is a more accurate rendering of Syria, although Syria is commonly used today. Possessed with devils, more accurately rendered as demon-possessed. It seems likely that, in fact, they were mostly people who were demon-oppressed. That is, there were demons on them. Where possessed relates to a demon that is resident in the core of the human being, in the space reserved for Yah's set-apart spirit. Remember that these people were mostly believers at some level. It's important to understand that very few people have demons in them. They're mainly Satanists, witches, who have invited the demons to come into them in the same way that an anointed believer invites the spirit of Yah to come into them. Epileptics is a more accurate rendering of lunatic, and paralytic is a more accurate rendering of palsy. Decapolis, the Ten Cities, a group of Hellenistic cities, Greek cities on the eastern frontier of the Roman Empire. Chapter 5, and seeing the multitudes, he, that's Yeshua, went up into a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him, his followers, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see Yah. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of Yah. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evils against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. So persecuted they the spokesmen of Yah, which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its favor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot by man. It remains commonplace for the true spokesmen and spokeswomen of Yah, in other words, prophets or prophetesses, to be rejected in the present age. There is massive error in formal religion. All religions are dominated by people who have no meaningful relationship with Yah. Important to look at those blessings. Yah is not the aggressive, harsh, judgmental ogre that some people portray him to be. He certainly does not agree with, he does not endorse the levels of violence that are practiced by religious people. And I have to say that Islam is particularly at fault here. But the other religions are also resorting to violence, and it's not Father's way, despite what you may have grown up believing from the Old Testament. Yeshua continues, verse 14, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, and kavod, that's glorify, your Father which is in heaven. Think not that I'm come to destroy the Torah or the spokesman of Yah. I'm come not come to destroy, but to fulfill. The Torah, see the notes in the introduction, correct rendering of law in this case, relates to the first five books of the Hebrew and Christian Bibles. These are widely ascribed to Moshe or Moses, but contain material relating to the time after Moshe died, so are not necessarily fully recorded by Moshe or at all. The Yehudai, the Jews, place a very high reliance on the Torah as being without error and inspired by Yah. As with similar beliefs about the Bible, the fact is that there are discrepancies, and the best one can say about the Torah is that it is an important reference with regard to the commandments of the Almighty and how to comply with them. The prophets or spokesman here relates to most of the remaining books of from Yeshua, Joshua, to Malachi, excluding the Tehillim and the Mishli, the Psalms and Proverbs in the Old Testament. But it must be recognized that we have no way of knowing whether the books we have today are more or less complete than those Yeshua is quoted as referring to, other than that the books from Matthew to Revelation were all recorded after the death of Yeshua. Yeshua came to fulfill the Ten Commandments, to provide a way for believers to fully comply with the commandments through the covenant that was to come into existence when he died, which provides forgiveness for sin, where sin is breaking any of the Ten Commandments. Starting at verse 18, "For verily I say to you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no ways pass from the law, the Ten Commandments, till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." Jot refers to the smallest letter or stroke of any writing, the iota. Refer to Wikipedia on jot and tittle. Tittle refers to a small dot, stroke, or diacritical mark, figuratively a small insignificant amount or speck. Again, refer Wikipedia. King James Version says law with regard to the Ten Commandments is discussed in the introduction. The rendering of law is problematic because it is used with regard to a diversity of concepts. In this case, Yeshua is saying that the Ten Commandments will never pass away. See Shemoth, Exodus 21-17. I've therefore rendered law as law in capital letters, brackets, Ten Commandments in this context. This verse is highly problematic in the present generation, since formal religion is in large measure teaching people to break at least some of the commandments. For example, believing that Jesus is God breaks the first commandment. Believing that the Bible, the Torah, or the Quran, or other book is the word of God or similar breaks the second commandment. See my article, The Essence of My Message Regarding the Commandments, on the website for a detailed discussion. This is an important injunction that many, most, pastors, priests, rabbis, imams, etc., have broken and will experience great grief when they come before the judgment seat. Whosoever shall do and teach them, wherefore shall break one of these commandments and teach men, so he shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. That's what that's referring to. 21, "Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you, whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Raka, shall be in danger of the council, but whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in the danger of hellfire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there remember that thy brother hast aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly, whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison." It's vital to understand here that Yeshua is saying that a believer who sins will spend time in hell, the place of correction for believers who die with unrepented sin. See the article, Believers in Hell for Unrepented Sin, on the website. 26, "Verily I say to thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing." You have heard that so you're really going to suffer in hell if you break any of the commandments. "You've heard that it was said by them of old, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say to you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. Woman here refers specifically to a married woman, a wife, Greek gune, Hebrew isha. This is distinct from a virgin, Bethula, a girl of marriageable age that is not joined to a man, distinct from widow, a female whose husband has died, and distinct from a harlot, a female with multiple male sexual partners, either concurrently or serially. It is really important to be aware of these distinctions to avoid misunderstanding the commandment. Specifically, adultery of the heart relates to lusting after a married woman. Desiring a virgin or widow is acceptable, provided one's intention is to marry her. And desiring a harlot is adultery because she's joined to other men and is therefore highly unwise. I understand all of these injunctions about plucking out your eye, etc., to be metaphoric, not actual. And note again that a believer can go to hell. Remember that Yeshua was only speaking to believers. He said, I've come to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. 31, has been said, whoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say to you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her that is divorced, committeth adultery. Again, you have heard it, that it has been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform to Yah the eternally self-existing thine oaths. But I say to you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is Yah's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. Put away relates to a man putting away, so-called divorcing his wife without just cause, where just cause is actual physical adultery. Just cause for divorce may also relate to covenant breaking, where there is a clearly agreed covenant or contract, and she persistently breaks a material clause in that covenant. Note that a woman can likewise divorce her man for covenant breaking. It is not possible for a man to commit adultery against his covenant woman, because it is permissible in the sight of Yah for a man to covenant with more than one woman, unless the covenant explicitly states that he will be monogamous. Marrying a man who has a history of being of having multiple sexual partners and then expecting him to be faithful to a woman in a monogamous situation just doesn't work. If you're going to marry such a man, you need to have an express conversation that he is going to be faithful to you only, and there are certain prayers that need to be prayed. See the articles on the website of men and women, and also the separation of man and woman. 38, you've heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also, and if any man will sue thee at the law, take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbour and hate thine enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. I understand law in this passage to be the law of society. So, Yeshua was manifestly pacifist, peace-loving. And Yah is that way. Yeshua came from Yah. He should know. 45, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be you therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Chapter 6. Take heed that you do not, your kind deeds before men to be seen of them. Otherwise you will have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest unkind deeds, do not sound a trumpet before thee as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have kavod, glory of men. Verily I say to you, they have their reward. Kind deeds in the King James Version is alms, meaning compassionateness, beneficence, benefaction, particularly towards the poor, also offering gifts to the temple or the ministry. What I would ask you to notice here, and I touched on it a moment ago, is that Yeshua is teaching a way of peace, of love, of compassion, very, very far from what the Torah-keeping scribes, etc., were teaching, which is a mechanical, legalistic, jot and tittle everything. Legalism, not a compassionate relationship with Yah and peace-loving. Three, but when thou doest kind deeds, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine kind deeds may be in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say to you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard of for their much speaking. Be not you therefore like to them, for your Father knows what things you have need of before you ask him. There are times when repetition in prayer is acceptable, such as daily prayers for general blessing from Yah, and when in deep distress one is seeking to break through something in the spiritual realm. But when I say repetition, daily prayers, once today, once tomorrow, deep distress, Father, save me, Father, save me, Father, I thank you that you saved me. Yahushua, Yah. Yahushua means Yah is salvation. Yah, save me. If you're in a tight situation and you're a believer, just cry out, Yahshua, 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 which means Yah, save me. There's another phenomenon that Father calls the force of emunah or the force of faith. That is ongoing nagging prayer where emunah, faith, is mobilized to a point where Yah feels obligated to grant what is being asked for, even though it is not in line with his will. This particularly is the case where groups of people pray continuously for the same thing without establishing whether they are praying Yah's will. Note that persistent warfare against the forces of darkness is a separate issue and necessary. 9. After this manner, therefore, pray you, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, kavod, forever. Amen. If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear to men to fast. Verily I say to you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not to men to fast, but to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret will reward thee openly. What I just read out there was the so-called Lord's Prayer, but it's more accurately looked at as a pattern prayer, a set of headlines that one can pray under or use to structure a prayer to address each of the points and elaborate as you feel led. Debt in that prayer relates particularly to sin against others. Amen, so be it, let it be done. Fasting is a vital component of service to Yah. See the article, The Importance of Fasting, on the website. 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be good, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve Yah and Mammon. Therefore I say to you, take no thought for your life what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, the body than raiment? Treasures in heaven relates to work on earth in service of Yah. It's important to make a significant contribution on earth if one desires a high position for eternity. See where are you headed for eternity on the website. Do you put your job, your family, or other worldly activities and interests before your relationship with Yah? That's a mistake. And I'm not telling you to neglect your spouse, your children, your parents, your responsibilities, but what this is saying is don't let them become idols in your life. And at all times, you must give thought and action to what you are doing for Yah. If you get through the day and you don't do anything for Yah, it's a wasted day, I'm sorry to tell you. 26. Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to your stature? And why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say to you that even Shlomo, Solomon, in his kavod, glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if Yah so clothe grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little Emunah? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Hagoyim seek. Your heavenly Father knows what you have need of all these, that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of Yah and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. Emunah is the more accurate Hebrew rendering of faith, which has some level of pagan connotation and should therefore be avoided. Seek first the kingdom of Yah, the ways of Yah, the service of Yah. This is a very important principle with regard to service of as a believer. Folks, if you're a believer and you have any aspiration, any ambition with Yah, you must do something concrete in his service every day. Really. Chapter 7. Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, the beam is in thy own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is set apart to the dogs, neither cast you your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn against you and rend you. Judge not, lest thou also art judged, is a critical principle. There's a broader point that is to judge yourself so that you're not found unworthy, and even more importantly, ask Yah to judge you. See the note in the introduction. There's a strong tendency among many believers to focus on the errors and sins in others and totally ignore one's own errors and sins. It's important who and under what circumstances you share your knowledge of Yah and his matters with. The reason there are so many religions and there's so many denominations and so many cults and what have you is because each little group of people gets their little piece that they think is truth. They judge everybody else to be in error, and they huddle in their little holy huddles. And so then somebody finds something wrong there, or what they think is wrong, and it's another little group and another little group and another little group. Folks, the only thing that matters is relationship with Yah. The rest is fluff and stuff. 7. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone that asketh receives, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. For what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread will give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, he will give him a serpent. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to him that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do you even so to them. For this is the Torah and the spokesman of Yah. Enter you in at the narrow and constrained gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because narrow and constrained is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth to life, and few there be that find it. Beware of the false spokesmen of Yah, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. It's really important how we treat others, folks. If we treat them badly, we should not be surprised if someone treats us badly. Beating people up, arming yourself with a suicide vest and killing people, it's not on. It's not Father's will, whatever you've been told. It's really important. The gate or way to enter heaven is narrow and constrained. It's not easy. Few find it and few enter it. See the article, Satan's Greatest Deception. Small is the gate and narrow is the path to everlasting life, and there are few who find it. It's not easy to get really close to Father. It's not easy to get to a place where you're going to have a high throne in heaven for eternity. I've been walking this road for 31 years. I know what I'm talking about. 16. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Not everyone that saith to me, Adonai, Adonai, incorrectly, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Adonai, Adonai, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. Here is again a reference to believers who sin and are unfruitful, finding themselves in hell for a season. I never knew you. No relationship with Yahweh Yeshua. Relationship is critical, folks. See the article, good is insufficient. Relationship with the Creator is what counts. I can't stress this enough. Torah keeping or Bible keeping or Quran keeping or whatever is futile if you don't have a relationship with Father. If you are robbing Father of quality time to read your Bible or your Quran or your Torah, if you're subscribing to 630 mitzvot, nitpicky little laws, and you don't have a relationship with Father, you are wasting your time. 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man which built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened to a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Yeshua had ended these sayings, that people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. As the first created spirit being, Yeshua had enormous knowledge and self-confidence in his authority. And that comes through. So because he speaks authoritatively, he was observed to speak authoritatively. The people wondered at his authority. His authority came from the fact that he was created. The first spirit being that Yah created was put into the body of the man, Yeshua. He knew exactly what was going on. He knew exactly what his authority was as a human being on earth. He knew exactly what the impact was of being filled with the set-apart spirit the way he was. He knew exactly what the impact was of having fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. He knew his authority. You can have that same authority if you choose to. Chapter 8. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him, and behold, there came a leper and bowed down to him, saying, Adonai, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Yeshua put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Yeshua said to him, See that thou tell no man, but go thy way, go thyself to the priest and offer the gift that Moshe commanded for a testimony to them. And when Yeshua entered into Capernaum, there came to him a captain, a Roman, beseeching him, saying, Adonai, my servant lieth at home, sick of the paralytics, grievously tormented. And Yeshua said to him, I will come and heal him. And the captain answered and said, Adonai, I'm not worthy that thou should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant will be healed. Note here that at all times, Yeshua was re-establishing fundamental rules and principles. He was not introducing new doctrine. Continuing with the captain, the centurion, for I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goes, and another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Yeshua heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed him, Verily I say to you, I have not found so great emunah faith, no, not in Israel. And I say to you that many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Yeshua said to the captain, Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so it be done to thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. And when Yeshua was come into Kepha's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered to them. When the even was come, they brought to him many that were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and he healed all that were sick. The outer darkness is the location in heaven where believers with no relationship with Yah are banished forever. It is cold and pitch black, and they gnash their teeth with regret for their error forever and ever. It is absolutely vital to seek relationship with Yah. The context to that is Yah didn't anticipate people believing and not having a relationship with. He created us to have a relationship. He didn't provide for it. So all that was left in heaven was the outer darkness. It's not because he's ugly. He didn't have anywhere else to put you. If you are going through life and once upon a time you said, yeah, I believe you exist, yes, good, goodbye, and carried on doing whatever you did or do, you'll go to hell to pay the price of your sin, and then you'll go to the outer darkness. Probably better that you hadn't believed. So I will continue next week. Right now I want to ask you, what is the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator? I'd ask you to critically examine where you are relative to Him. Do you talk to Him constantly throughout the day and allow Him to lead you in every possible way? Do you worship Him at every opportunity? Have you clearly and unambiguously heard Him call you friend? If not, you're failing in your life purpose and you'll be bitterly disappointed when you die. If you've now come to belief, please pray along the following lines. Father Yah, I come to you in the name of Yeshua. I now believe that you exist. I confess my sin of unbelief, and I repent of my unbelief, and I ask you to forgive my sin. I now commit my life to you, and I ask you to take me by the hand and lead me into deep relationship with you. I ask you to fill me with your spirit and to change me and help me to become the person you want me to become. I ask you to help me find people who can help me and help me find books, websites, articles, and other resources that will help me. I ask you to show me what I can do to actively serve you and lead others to deep personal relationship with you. I thank you for saving me. There's a period of 8 days from sincerely coming to belief for the first time during which there is extreme grace to help you. See the article, Critical Actions on First Belief, the actions you should take immediately. Drop me an email at james@endtimeissueministries.org so that I can help you, pray with you, counsel you, etc. I want to stress, it doesn't matter who you are. You can be an outright Satanist. You can be a completely washed out whatever. Father wants to become your friend. He wants you to be his friend. In closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions to james@endtimeissueministries.org. Please email me to join the mailing list at james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know, and I can connect with you by Skype, Zoom, Teams, email, or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect with you again next week when I will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. Work with me to make a way for Yeshua to return in victory at the end of the millennium and make his enemies his footstool. Just to elaborate on the point I've just made, it doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor, educated or uneducated, tall or short, fat or thin. It doesn't matter if you're African, Asian, Indian, European, American, whatever. It doesn't matter if you're Christian, Jewish, Satanist, Muslim, Buddhist, Hindu, whatever. What matters is that you make a decision today, A, to believe that Yah exists. There's a whole article on creation, why you should believe in the Creator on the website. And B, to decide that you want to get close to Him. He will help you to get there. I will help you to get there. There's a huge amount of information on the website to answer your questions and help you. I'm busy putting together a series of short articles that sort of just tie the absolute key pieces together. It's Father's desire for you to become a mighty warrior in His service, and it's my desire to help you. Please email me. If you've been with me for a while, I'm guessing you're going to drop off now, and I'm going to say goodnight to you. If this is your first or second time on the channel, please stay on, and I'll share a little bit more with you. In closing, who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering, and I'm a retired military commander. I now work as a management consultant. I have over 31 years' experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty following a dramatic encounter with Him on the 12th of March, 1993, when He spoke to me audibly in a locked room, and I knew for certain that He was real. In learning about Father, I applied my deep-seated aversion to failure, born out of an accident in early childhood, coupled to my engineering and military training of rigor and preventing failure, to my seeking of knowledge about Father. This journey led to numerous supernatural experiences, prayers answered, and clear communication with the Creator that forms the basis for what I teach in these programs. See the video, Why Seek Relationship, for an overview of what I believe. Please visit my website at www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. The ETI version of the Bible with correction of key translation errors is on the ETI Bible version page. For recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far, search on Google for quote, relationship with Creator Radio, unquote. Transcripts of most of the teachings are on the transcripts of broadcast page or is together with the audio files. Books with teachings from 1998 till May 2019 are at the books for printing page. I publish regular email articles. Email me on james@endtimeissueministries.org to be added to the list or to seek counsel or prayer or give me feedback. Visit the website and use the Google search, article keyword cloud, table of contents, and article search to locate the information you're looking for. Folks, go for it. Just pray that prayer. It doesn't have to be exactly as I gave it. Whatever comes to mind, the main thing is, Father Yah, I believe You are real. I believe You exist. I ask You to forgive me my sins, and I ask You to make me Your servant and Your child. That's basically all you have to do. Go for it. Good night.
Father, I come to You.
Hi, I'm James Robertson. What do you know about Yeshua, the Anointed of Yah, incorrectly called Jesus Christ? If you don't know much about Him or you've read a whole lot of stuff and you don't know what's going on, I urge you to listen to my broadcast on W4CY.com, Internet Radio, or Talk4TV.com, Internet TV. Also visit my website at www.endtimeissueministries.org and email me on james@endtimeissueministries.org to find out more. I look forward to hearing from you. Cheerio.